Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. And if you want wisdom, if you're looking for wisdom, it's going to have to start with the fear of the Lord, not just getting a whole bunch of knowledge. Because if, in fact, you're already struggling not to have, you don't have wisdom, and you just try to get knowledge, now you're going to be prideful and unwise, you know, because you got knowledge, because knowledge pops up. But if you ask God for wisdom, and he tells us in James that he gives it liberally, but it begins with a fear of the Lord, a fear of the Lord. And I mean, just.
Yeah, it's powerful. I mean, as we were sharing last week about the fear of the Lord, you know, John Bevere's book, powerful.
I
encourage anybody who hasn't read it yet to definitely get it. And I've read it before, but I'm just, you know, it's just like brand new again. God is just so, you know that God has not changed.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, he has not changed.
Right, right.
He's the same
yesterday,
today, and forever.
Yes.
And we talked about, you know, last week about, you know, Nadab and Abihu, how they, you know, you reverently brought this offering before God, and God dealt with them severely. Well,
dead.
You're thinking, yeah, dead is a doornail.
People say God doesn't do that anymore.
Well, guess what?
It's what he does. We're like, oh my goodness.
You say, well, that was OT. That, you know, we're in grace and all that kind of stuff. Well,
as we're performing a funeral, we're going like, I guess it still applies.
Yeah.
We're bow our heads. We're here to remember Ananias
and Sapphira.
And Sapphira and Eli.
Yeah. Yep.
Pray for his sight to come back.
Exactly. You know, read it in Book of Acts. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, and believe it or not, again, it had to do with an offering.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure.
You know, irreverently, they brought an offering because they, first, let me back up a little bit. You know, as we were talking about, you know, God's order of things, he brings order, which is God's pattern of things. Then he brings his glory because there's order. And then if things go awry, then there's judgment.
Right.
Because God's glory cannot, you know, sin and God's glory don't mix.
Right.
One of them's got to go. Either he'll leave or you will.
Right.
One or the other.
Or repent and then get back in order again.
Exactly.
Because God's justice is about order.
Absolutely.
And so repentance would be to get back in his order again.
Absolutely. You know, and God's desire is to dwell in his people. You know, from the beginning, when God created the earth, you know, he dwelt with Adam and Eve and things were just awesome. And then the fall. And ever since then, he's been trying to get back in a relationship with us. So then he brought the tabernacle in the desert with Moses, and he established that pattern. Then with Solomon in the temple, and then you think about John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus, and then Jesus prepared the way by his sacrifice where we can have a relationship with God now, because his ultimate goal is to dwell in us. He wants a relationship with us, which just blows my mind how desperately he wants to be with us.
He didn't want to be in the tent. He didn't want to be in the building. He wanted to be in us.
In us.
Don't you know that you are the temple of God, that Christ, God's spirit dwells inside of you? We're the tabernacle.
That's right.
God tabernacles with us.
That's right.
Powerful.
And then, Jesus, you know, his sacrifice and he rose from the dead. And then when he came back, he told the disciples, says, look, wait for me. Wait for the Comforter. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. In Jerusalem, don't leave.
Right.
Well, he appeared for like 500 different people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they waited. Some gave up and they left.
Right.
And they got down to like the 120 that were left in the upper room.
Jesus, down to 120.
Yeah. And then
he must have missed God. That's what they would say.
Yeah, right, right.
Which is not true.
And because of their faithfulness to stand and do what God said to do.
Right.
They waited.
Right.
And the promise came.
Suddenly.
The glory of God showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Signs, wonders. I mean, things. This was just a powerful move of God, you know, to the point where even, you know, Peter's shadow was healing the sick, you know, when they would lay the sick out in the streets. And just things were just moving and just God's glory was manifesting. And then you get Ananias and Sapphira.
Right.
And they get familiar with all that.
Yep. They're familiar with
it. You know, they see Barnabas getting all this attention. And
yeah.
By bringing this offering, they say, well, obviously they were,
their motives were totally different.
Motives were totally messed up. And they bring an offering from some land they sold, and it was theirs to do what they wanted. But, right. you know, they thought that they could just lie to Peter, not realizing they were lying to God, right. the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And God dealt with that.
Right. Individually.
Individually.
Which shows, too, that, you know, first Ananias came and he lied to God, and God dealt with him. And then Sapphira came alone. So often people just say, well, my spouse, you know, it's my spouse's fault because I'm married. I wouldn't have done this. And it's like, she could have told the truth.
Right.
God would have rewarded her for telling the truth at that point. And she didn't. Right.
That's right.
And they didn't have texts or anything. It sounded like her text. Hey, don't just tell God you know what right. it is.
That's right. So obviously God is the same. That was the New Testament.
Right.
This is the beginning days of the church.
A little context there too to help you out that what happened was, like you say, Barnabas just loved God and wanted to be able to help finance what God was doing, and just sold some land and gave it. And obviously people talked positively about him and they liked the idea. So they sold some land. But they thought, well, we don't want to give it all. We wanted to tell everybody to give it all. So they sat around the kitchen. Obviously the kitchen table, but over the pot and said, let's just say we gave it all and let's keep half of it. They could have kept all of it.
Yeah.
You know, at least all 90% of it, I guess. But they just said they wanted to make men feel like they were, like, there's so many people that they're more worried about. They want to be lifted up in men's eyes, not understanding that God's eyes are the only ones that matter.
That's just that.
You know what I'm saying? And they went, that's what they did. So they went and they connived this whole thing because they wanted to be in leadership and thought of big in the eyes of men. Mm-hmm. And they didn't realize it was the church is God's.
Yeah.
You know,
listen to this powerful quote. Yeah. You mentioned that they desired the praises of man more than the praises of God. It says, if you desire the praises of man, you will fear man.
Yeah.
If you fear man, you will serve him. If you serve, or you serve what you fear. But their eyes, I mean, obviously, all they wanted was recognition of man, right. not realizing they were lying in God's face.
Which is no, and it's amazing. It's like, really? Yeah. I mean, you know.
No fear.
But it's like, really? I mean, don't you realize the only reason that we're doing what we're doing is for God? And it's like that organizational chart I always talk about. It's like a flat organizational chart or a pancake chart. Mm-hmm. We all report directly to God, even though we have different giftings and different functions in the body, that we're all personally held accountable to God. We may be under some authority in the church, but you're directly responsible and accountable to God for that. So to rebel against Peter would be rebel against God, because God established Peter in that particular place, right? That's what he said. He said, so to lie to Peter is to lie to God.
That's right.
And some people don't understand, why is all this happening to me? Because in their mind, they're thinking, there's no big deal. I just lied to Pastor so-and-so. Or I just lied to Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so. And like Moses looking at Miriam, they're going like, what did you do? What happened? And they're not being honest because it feels kind of bad to go, I was just trying to lift myself up. And people don't normally do that, right? I was just trying to lift myself up. And you think highly of me. I wanted a brick with my name on it, put in the wall where people could see it forever. And those type of things versus, you know. But yeah, it was no fear, was it?
And that's the whole point was, our sacrifices are worthless if not accompanied with the love of God and a fear of God. They mean nothing.
Right.
They mean nothing.
You think about the lady who, when Jesus was, people say, well, the Lord's not into that. Well, it talks about finances in the Word of God more than you can imagine. The reason I believe why is because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Ever how you handle your finances in regards to the context of what God says about them is... where your heart is, and God's after your heart, and so he's not after your money. But then you think about how much fear of God that the poor lady who gave everything that she had, which is 2 copper coins, and she put it, and Jesus is watching it happen. And she had a fear of the Lord because she believed that God could provide for her. You know, give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And it's so much easier to give out of your poverty than out of your wealth.
Wow.
And people say, well, you know, if I get $1 million, you know, I'm going to be faithful to God. But right now I need this 10 bucks. And it's like, well, you're never going to have more than, you know, it's you're never going to lose that. What you had's going to be taken from you. Or they think about the lady with Elijah and the widow that, you know, she had just a little bit left, a little bit of meal left, a little bit of oil left. And she had to decide, am I going to fear man or am I going to fear God? Right.
That's right.
And you, whatever you obey, you fear, you know? And so if you obey God, that's a fear of God. It's not like, it's not this terrified, I'm scared of God thing. It's just, I believe God. I believe God. And so Elisha tells her, you know, what are you doing? She says, well, I'm just about to prepare the last Bisquick mix with milk.
Right.
No, a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and I'm going to make some flapjacks. No, make some a little a cake and a bread for us, and then we're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so he tells her, first, before you do that, and this is so important, if you're going to honor God, you have a fear of God, he's got to come first in your life. He's not talking about everything. He's talking about first. And you know how that is. I mean, if somebody says they love you and you're always last, are you really loved? And so if God's really loved, he's always first in our life. He's not saying he wants everything. It's all his already. He wants to know if we will put him first. And so he said, first, I want you to make for me some bread, and then for you. And she's already said it. We're going to make our last piece of meal and die.
Yeah.
And so you had to decide then, am I going to fear what I see? Am I going to fear this famine? Am I going to fear this economy? Am I going to fear what's happening right now in America? You know, am I going to fear a lack and not having enough? Or am I going to fear God? And right now, when you see 97%, according to George Barna, are not fearing God at all in America because they're not giving God his first, the tithe.
Right.
And so that says that there's no fear of God, which means there's no wisdom. And she had to make a choice. And what's so cool is it didn't matter what anybody else in Zarephath did. She all alone could fear God, and God would take care of her. So she took what would have been her last, and she fixed that meal for the man of God, the prophet. Which, by the way, you're not doing anybody any good if you're editing what God says. If God tells you that you're supposed to tell them that they're supposed to give an offering and you don't, you blew it for her because it wasn't about you. That's not humility. That's pride. You should not even been in the equation. If God says that she needs to fear the Lord so she can be blessed, and you think, oh, that's going to make me look bad because I tell that she needs to honor God with the tithes and the offerings, then all of a sudden she's going to eat her last meal and die because she never understood. And you should have taught her that you put God first. It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
And so he told her that. And how difficult is that to do? How difficult is that to do when, in fact, you know, you got all this calamity around you, this financial collapse around you, and they're saying this is the last thing that they have. And it's not for you to edit. And so you just deliver what God says, and you help people follow God. And ever how it happens, it happens. And God knows their heart. You know, some people think of, well, if I give this, then it's going to be like a slot machine. And, you know, it's going to be like it pays off. Or I'm going to give and somehow this institution calls the church is going to take care of me. It's like, that's not it. God just begins to take care of you. And so she does it. And this is what happens to her. She doesn't die, but her oil never ran out, and her meal, it just never ran out. It just kept on, you know, he says, you know, get all these jars together and God filled them all.
Mm-hmm.
He filled them all, you know, which is when you understand that we are the jars, we're the lamps. And as many people as you will tell about God, God will fill them and God will take care of you in that. And she never went without. She never went without. And I can attest to that just be faithful to God. I mean, you'll go through times of testing. You'll go through all those different things that happen in life. And being Americans, you know, just enough is not quite enough quite often for Americans, but just enough is just enough. Mm-hmm. And that's a place, that's a wonderful place to be when most of the world, I mean, think about it, they're saying 1 billion people live on $1 a day.
Wow.
You know, and just enough in America is quite a bit.
That's amazing.
And they never ran out. She never ran out. But that's a fear of God. She had to decide, am I going to fear all my circumstances? Am I going to fear what's going on? Or am I going to fear God? And if you obey God with a right heart, then that's fearing God. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.